With Tim for thanking everyone being out with us this evening, and especially if you consider yourself visitor, once you you know that you're welcome to worship with us any opportunity that you have. For just a little while this evening, I want to study something with us that should be an encouragement to us, or if you want to place it as an admonition, something that we should strive to work towards as we go through our lives as Christians and living in the kingdom. All one in Christ. And you may look at that and you think, well, you know, what does that mean? Well, as we go through the study this evening, we'll have a little better idea of what it means. I think we all have a basic understanding of what it means, but as we go through the study, maybe that understanding will be a little clearer in our lives and have us let's say a little bit of an admonition that's something we should be striving to work towards. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 28 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Also along this same thought process, there's a couple more verses in Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 12 says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." And then Romans 12, verse 5 says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of another." You know, you go back and you look at Galatians chapter 3 up here, and it says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus." So in the way we look at things today, we can look at that as there's no male, female, there's no white, black, Hispanic, there's no poor, there's no rich, however you want to go on and on with that idea. The deal is that there's no difference in any of us when we're a child of God. We're all one in Christ Jesus. So what are some of the characteristics that we should have for professing to be one in Christ Jesus? Colossians chapter 3, starting verse number 12. Here the scripture says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." You know, we look at this, and there's several things in here that tells us characteristics that we should have as a child of God when we realize that we are all one in Christ. We need to be kind, we need to be humble, we need to be meek, merciful, long-suffering, willing to forgive, all these things. We should show love one towards another. And all these characteristics are in direct opposition to what the world teaches and what most people show in the world today. And we look at that and say, yeah, but that's just the way the world is. Well, but we know as children of God that we are called out of the world. And this is just part of what sets us apart from those in the world, is that we put these characteristics to work in our lives so that we can let our light shine to those around us when we are in the grocery store, the gas station, a restaurant, work, school, wherever you may find yourself. When we profess to show these kind of characteristics, then we don't have to have a glowing sign above us that says, "Hey, I'm a Christian." Because our actions will show that we are a Christian. You know, when we find ourselves failing in our attempts to live like this, keep in mind that Jesus asked God in prayer to help us as we live our lives in this world. John chapter 17, verse 20 through 23 says, and this is Jesus talking here, he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, and that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, or complete, may be made complete in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You know, when we find ourselves showing more of the world than showing Christ, keep that in mind, that even Jesus prayed for his children as we were left to live on this earth. This is in a context that's not long before he ascends up to heaven, and he was praying to God to strengthen his believers and his apostles as he left. So even Jesus prayed for us to be one, that the idea that we should look out for one another over putting ourselves first is part of that indwelling word that God gives us through our study of his word. And living as one is not something that comes naturally. It's not something that's just automatically, once we're obedient to the gospel, that this is a strong characteristic that we possess. It's something that we grow into. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15 says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Also 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So notice what these verses say, that we, verse 15, Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. 2 Peter says that maybe we should be able to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. These are not something that just comes natural to us. You know, we have a couple of babies in the congregation. You know, a newborn baby is not born full grown with years of knowledge and understanding and how to live as a Christian. Neither is a new convert to Christianity. You know, once we're obedient to the gospel of Christ, we're not all of a sudden just instantly endued with the knowledge of God's word and an understanding of how we should live our lives. As a newborn baby needs nourishment and guidance to grow, a new Christian needs nourishment and guidance as well to grow. And living as one is an action. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So yeah, we may be the most knowledgeable person in the congregation in our knowledge of God's word, but if we don't put that to action in our lives and show the world our love, physically show our love, then what good is that knowledge? It has no value to us if it's not put into action. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 50. Here the scripture says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. You know, you look at this, we read this group of verses all the time. We look over it and we just skim through it. Well, okay, Jesus is in a crowd and he's teaching and somebody comes to him and says, well, your mom and your brothers and sisters are outside. They want to talk to you. And Jesus says, well, who is my mother and my brothers and sisters? And he says, these folks here are the ones that are my family. They're my mother and my brothers and sisters. So we understand Jesus lived in this earth physically. He had a physical mother just like we all have. And he had the love for his mother just like we all have. And yet he had the idea that those that were believers and obedient to his plan for salvation were his mother and his brethren. that we were on the same level to him in a relationship value as his blood relatives were. You know, in our blood families, you know, we have love, we have troubles, we have great joys, we have great trials. We have some family that we get along with very well, and others that, you know, if we don't see them once every 6 months, that's okay. But do we push out those that we don't get along with? You know, or do we say, well, you're not part of the family anymore? Well, of course not. They're still family. The same applies to us and God's family. We are the family of God. Are we going to push out those that we don't get along with well? Of course not. We're family. When something happens at church that we have a problem with, do we just say, well, that's it, I'm done, I'm out of here, and we quit, we never come back in the door? Well, of course not. We shouldn't. We shouldn't let it get to that point. We do what God's word tells us. We work it out. We keep in mind that we are all one in Jesus, and we go to God's word for an understanding of how we handle troubles within our relationships in the church. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 17 says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. So he's telling us, say, okay, if you got a problem with somebody in the church, go talk to them. Don't sit back here and talk to everybody else in the church but the one you have a problem with. You go talk to the one you have a problem with and see if you can't work that out. And if you can't, then you take a couple with you. And then if that don't work, then you take it to the leadership of the church. These things are covered under God's word. They're not covered under, well, I feel like I need to. No, it's not about what I feel like. It's what God's word tells us and how we handle situations like that. Luke chapter 17, verse 3 says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. But why is this, the first part of this, take heed to yourselves in there? You know, we understand if your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, if he repent, forgive him. But why is this take heed to yourselves in there? Because we get to where we want to pick and choose how we want to go about handling those things. Again, do we sit and talk to everybody in the church but the person we have a problem with? Or do we go to that brother with the idea that we are all one in Christ, with the idea that let's work this out. Whatever it takes, let's solve this problem. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, 22 says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So, you know, I guarantee you, any problem we have in the church, we will never reach seven times 70 times that we go talk to somebody about a problem. If it's not handled in the first two or three situations, then let the leadership of the church handle it. And I would say that that wouldn't even happen. 99.9% of the time, if we go to somebody that we think we have a problem with, it's going to be handled real quick with a simple discussion and a simple looking at God's word. With the mindset that we are all one in Christ. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. There has to be priorities. We have to make a priority in our lives, and we do this right and make it a priority, everything else falls in line. If we have the mindset that we are all one in Christ and we keep that in the forefront of our mind, then everything else falls in line because we realize that, well, that's not just him we're having a problem. That's my brother I'm having a problem with. So we go talk to and settle the problem, whatever the case may be. But it has to be a priority in our lives to have that mindset to begin with. We can't just jump off the gun and say, well, I don't like what was said. I'm leaving. I'm not coming back here. I don't like that place. They got a bunch of hypocrites in church there. Well, at times we're all hypocrites, but yet when we look to God's word on how to handle the things that we face in this life, even in the church, and with the mindset that we are all one in Christ. There's no male, no female, no old, no young, no rich, no poor. Whatever the case you want to be, we're all one, a child of God. According to the scripture, then if we keep that in the priorities of our minds, then that makes everything else fall in line, because we'll try our best to live like we talked about the characteristics earlier, to have meekness and forgiveness and gentleness and be able to have the mindset of love and those characteristics in our lives, then everything else falls in line. Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Of course, you look at the previous verses, what he's talking about is all these things. But you know, this answers a whole lot of problems that we face in this life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then our priorities shift. Our pride gets squashed. You know, we realize that, well, you know, I'm not as big and bad of a guy as what I thought I was. When you look in the big scheme of things compared to how God views us, and especially how he views us as sinners. Mark chapter 10, verse 28 through 30. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren, sisters and mothers and children, lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. What this verse tells me is we live, before we are obedient to the gospel, we have our family. We have our blood family. We have our immediate family. We have our extended family. And that's about as far as it goes. You know, my extended family, due to age, several of them have died off through the last few years. I still have a couple of cousins left. I still have one or two aunts left. And then on Brenda's side, we go a little bit further. But on my immediate side of the family, that side of the family is dying off. But God's word says, this is my family. Just like Jesus said when they come to him, told him, well, your mother and your brethren are outside. And he says, well, this is my family. These are my mother and my brethren. That we gain, as it says, verse 30, we shall receive 100-fold now in this time, and then in time to come, eternal life. But there's one little couple of words here in the last of verse 30. He says, and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. He doesn't guarantee us, you know, an easy path in life, that everything's going to be just rosy and cheery throughout eternity for us as long as we live in this life. But if we strive our best to live according to his will and put these characteristics into our lives that we live and put in priority, that we are all one in Christ, then the promise of eternal life in heaven far outweighs any persecutions we'll ever face in this life. That ends the slideshow for the evening, but I have one last verse I want to close with. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we realize as children of God that we are to take care of all the people that we come into contact with, but he says especially those that are of the household of faith. So we need to take care of our brothers and sisters in the church especially, but we need to have an influence in those that we come into contact with every day of our life, no matter if they're brothers and sisters in the church or not, because we never know when something we say or do will make a difference in the lives of those that we come into contact with. I'll leave the lesson with you this evening. I pray the things be an encouragement for you and something to help motivate us to maybe change our physical mindset, the way we do things in this world, the way we perceive others in this world and then how we act and react and to the things in this world. Don't look to me for a prime example, because when I act or react, it's usually wrong. But this is something that we need to work on each and every day of our lives. And I think if we change the priorities of our vision and our mindset, then that will help guide us to change our lives in turn. I'll leave the lesson with you. If there's anyone subject to the gospel call, we'd ask you to come forward while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.